Namaskar, and once again we are here, we are back, and a very warm welcome to Awakening with Brahma Kumaris. I can really understand you all wait, because I also wait for this moment when we can take the journey where we had left. If you look at it, we have traveled till the moment we realize that I am that beautiful, pure, joyful, peaceful, loving, true soul. It makes me feel so good. I just hope that all of you, and even I, try to go through this experience, even if intellectually we are not able to come to terms with it, but it makes us feel good. And this feeling good factor can actually be with us. And now, today, we'll try to find out that intellectually, can we come to a conclusion that yes, I am this beautiful being? And to take us through this journey, as always, it's a great privilege to have with us Brahma Kumari Sister Jayanti, who is the European Director of Brahma Kumaris and also the NGO representative at United Nations in Geneva. Om Shanti, and a very warm welcome.
Namaste and Om Shanti to you.
Sister Jayanti, before we go ahead in this journey of inner self, there's something which I want to ask you.
Mm-hmm.
Just a minute. Was a program or a concept which you just went through. Can you just tell us?
It's something that we've been practicing in the Brahma Kumaris for many, many years. But we were trying to think about what was the essential message that we wanted to share with people. And we realized that we wanted them to be aware of that inner feeling of peace, which is the true nature of the self. And we realized that the system that we have of taking a pause every hour on the hour and just letting our mind become quiet and still and connecting with the self was something that was very useful for everybody. And so we call this just a minute. Just a minute, wait. And you're telling your mind this. Just a minute. Take a moment. And let there be a pause between the thoughts, in the conversation, in the action. So that in that minute, you take the time to go inside and connect with your own original state of peace, of love, of truth. And after a minute, you come back out again into all the things you need to do. But that 1 minute has been a reminder. You know, they say that the most important thing in speaking is not just the words, but the pauses between the words. Or in music, the sound is wonderful, but the wonderful sound comes because there's pauses between the sound.
Interludes.
That's right. And, you know, if I want to make my muscles strong, if I just contract, it's not going to make them very strong, it's going to make them tired. But if I relax, and then I contract again. So that moment of pause, of relaxation, is what gives strength in terms of physical exercise. The same is true here. The mind is racing, racing, racing. But take a minute. Take a moment. And take a pause. And in that peace pause, you can find many things. There's a software program called Peace Pause that'll remind you on your computer. Bing! It'll give you the option. Do you want to stop for a minute and experience peace? Or do you want to just carry on with your busyness? But taking a moment is very energizing and very refreshing. The soul can't be seen with these physical eyes. But even here in this room right now, can you see the electrical current? There's masses of things happening with the light, the sound, the cameras and everything. So it's for real, but you can't see it. Sound, it's being magnified and transmitted. But what's that energy that's making it happen like that? Again, you can't see it. Gravity, it's for real. If I pick up that cup, it's not going to stand there, it's going to fall. It's real. So there's many energies that we've now discovered that exist just here in this room, many different types of energies, real but invisible. And so the soul is absolutely real. How could this mouth speak on its own? The life force, the being that I am, is making this microphone operate. But yes, it's true that being invisible, it means that I have to go inside to discover who I am and let the inner eye of wisdom open. They say that there's a third eye of wisdom here, and that's the memorial of the soul being here. So the soul resides here, just in front of the brain, and then through its awareness, through its thoughts, it works through the brain, sending out the information, receiving the information. But it's not the brain that does it.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to ask you, because this is a question which has been, you know, really coming. It's like, till now I've been thinking that my brain is a supercomputer who creates thoughts, who gives instructions to my hand, my leg, you know, whatever it wants to give, whatever work has to be done. And then whatever I do is like I remember it also.
The analogy is a good one, because the brain is the computer, but it's the hardware. But the hardware on its own can't do anything. It needs the software. And so the software is contained within the soul. Then it's able to make all this hardware and all this system that's an amazing creation of the universe function. But the software is the soul. And so in that awareness of the invisible being that I am, there's many different levels. My thoughts. You heard about how people are afraid of silence because they don't want to be left alone with their thoughts. Well, the first thing you become aware of are your thoughts. Another thing you can see are your feelings. Then you get in touch with your emotions. Then you go a bit deeper and you get in touch with your belief, your understanding. Then you go a bit deeper and you get in touch with your conscience. Go a bit deeper. And you get in touch with your memories, all the memories that I carry from forever. And then you go a bit deeper and you get in touch with your personality traits, the imprints that are you, that you have acquired through your whole journey in life, and that's all recorded within the soul. That's not recorded in the body. That's not recorded within the brain. But it's all there within the soul. Once the soul has left the body, this hardware is there, but it's not functional. Everything within the physical system can be perfectly intact, but the spark of light is gone, and this can do nothing. I ask myself the question, well, if a thought has come, and two people see the same situation, but we'll have different thoughts, and the thoughts will lead to different actions. There'll be 10 people, same situation, and our responses and reactions are completely different. And so why? It's not what's happening outside. It must be something that's happening inside. And so what is there that's there within? There's a classical example that's always given. I see this long, thin piece that's a string, a snake? I don't know what it is. So what's going to determine my response to it? The recording from my past experience. If in my experience things like this are strings, I'll approach this thing and pick it up. I might get a shock, it's a snake. But if in my past experience these things bite, even if it's a string, I'll have fear, it's a snake. So my past experience recorded within me as my personality, because everything I've experienced has created the personality that I am today. Where I was born, where I lived, who I grew up with, the education, the people, everything's had its own impact and shaped me as I am now. So all of that is there recorded, and that determines the way I respond today. My thoughts aren't coming out of air. My thoughts are coming out of my own sanskaras, traits of personality that I carry within my own being. And so, in fact, you can look at one model in which you go deeper and deeper and deeper, and you can look at another model in which we go around in a circle. A thought, an action, an imprint, sanskara, and from that imprint, another thought. And this is an amazing key. It is the secret of life. It is the secret of the universe. It is the key that we've been looking for forever.
Okay.
Because when I understand this circle, I can be liberated, I can be free, I can reach my highest potential, I can attain my state of perfection. And when I forget and I lose the key, that's when I get into bondage. Bondage not of anyone else or circumstances, but the worst bondage of all, my own nature, my own personality. Because this is also the addiction cycle.
I get entangled into it, you know, like, yes, I'm obsessed with it.
A moment of anger and I burst into anger. The thought came, a reaction came, and I let it through into action. That action left an imprint. Second time, a similar situation, bang. And the anger grows worse and worse and worse. When I use the word addiction, I was using it on the inner level, but it also applies the same on the substance level. Today it's one cigarette, tomorrow it's five, the next day it's 10, and you say, just one more, just one more. And so any habit gets stronger and it becomes an addiction. And the only way to break free from that addiction is to break the pattern between the thought and action. And there's one thing I didn't mention when I was talking about thought and action and imprint, and that's the most critical aspect of the human being, and that is the buddhi, the intellect. When it's just thought, action, imprint, we've bypassed the intellect. The filter that says yes or no.
Decision-making power. Okay, yeah.
The conscience, the capacity to understand, the capacity to reason, the capacity to have logic, the buddhi. The buddhi is the guardian, but the buddhi has gone to sleep. Our conscience is fast asleep. And so thought, action, and in a world that's fast, 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 and we put a value on speed, high value, a thought, an action, and you think, great, but you've cut out the filter of the checkpoint. Should I not? Remove the traffic lights from the roads, the checkpoints, and it's chaos. The filter, the traffic lights, the signal, proceed or stop. That's the buddhi. And so what's happened today is that we haven't given it value. And also because we've had the wrong belief system, the material paradigm, I am this, instead of the spiritual understanding of who I am. When the buddhi awakens, the divya buddhi, the divine intellect, I am the eternal soul. Then the buddhi becomes functional again. The conscience awakens. And this is why meditation is important. In silence, to allow the conscience to awaken. And it's totally related to our life. It's not that meditation is something separate from my life, but it's very much a part of my life. The awareness of the soul means that thought comes, I check. Then I perform the action. Then that imprint is either changed or it's reinforced. People ask, well, what's the connection of the heart with all of this?
That was the next question, because this is where we are thinking. But at times, we don't even think, you know, we feel the straight connection.